Come on, Ted. Isn't your first rodeo? First day in the job, huh? We're docking your pay this week. He's not paid. Okay. This morning, I want to begin a new series. I know we just ended one, but we're starting a new one up, so you all have to bear with us. We're going through in a systematic way, I believe, talking about spiritual disciplines. Some of you may have heard that phrase before. Some of you maybe haven't. It's the idea of what we see in Scripture as something that is used to develop your own personal faith. The idea of how you can grow and how you can mature. Certain things that you are told to do in Scripture or shown by example to do in Scripture that can help your own personal spiritual development. And this morning, I want to talk about my favorite one. Okay, we talked about prayer quite recently, but this one I forget exists until I realize, usually driving in the car, that I don't have to play music or listen to a podcast or hear the radio. I could just turn it off just for a minute. And for about 2 or 3 minutes, something in my mind is telling me, no, this is not good, because there has to be something going on. Podcast, music, radio, my thoughts are up here. And then as soon as I give into it, I usually realize, oh yeah, I can just be quiet just for a moment on this car trip and just pray about what I've been thinking about this whole time. Solitude is a spiritual discipline. And I will give you that we are all in different spots in our life. We all have different things going on. So this may be nearly impossible in your world to have just a moment off by yourself, being in solitude and sometimes in silence. So we're going to talk about a couple of things in Scripture that Jesus did to have those moments of rest and peace and stillness in the midst of his ministry. Now, George, is he here today? George 3? Okay, he's not physically in this room, so I'll talk about him while he's not here. So, he's been teaching Revelation for his father on Sunday mornings in the Loafers class. He's been teaching the book of Acts for us Loafers on Wednesday nights. And I for a long time, didn't teach or preach my way through Acts because we talk about Acts, it seems like, all the time. So, having been away from it for at least 5 years or so, of a systematic study of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and then going back into it, there's something that I've noticed that I know is there. And that is the fact that when you look at someone like the Apostle Paul, for example, they had habits. They had things that they often did because that was the way that their lives were structured. And whenever you see the Apostle Paul go into a certain town in the ancient world in the first century, the first thing he always did was find a synagogue. And he would go inside the synagogue, and he would try to reason with the Scriptures, the Hebrew Bible, how Jesus must be the Messiah. He would stay there for 2 or 3 weeks usually, and eventually he would turn his attention away from the synagogue, away from the Jews, and then he would go into the marketplaces, the agoras, and he'd talk to the Gentiles about who Jesus was and what the gospel was. And so that was his pattern, that was his habit, was to start in the synagogue with the people that he knew as Hebrew brethren, and then from the Scriptures talk about who Jesus was. And then he would go and talk to the people that were Gentile about who Jesus was. So those habits that we learn from the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts is one interesting little minutia detail that Luke put in there for us. But when you look into all four gospel accounts, it is hard to miss that Jesus was also a man of habits. He had things that he consistently and constantly did that are referred to when it comes to going away to a place, often by himself or with his closest friends, and just having a moment of silence and solitude away from the people that he was sent to teach and to eventually die on the cross for. So to begin our study this morning, let's go to the book of Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. Luke records this. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who is called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. In this context, Luke is just simply recording for us the moment that he is calling officially his 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, later on in the narrative. Before he did that, he took the time that night before to go out to a mountain and to pray to God. He took that moment before an important decision, and he communed with his Father in silence and in solitude, pouring out his heart before God about them being called as the 12, who would eventually be given the great commission to go and tell the whole world about who Jesus was. It's a very important decision. Also, in Luke chapter 5, the previous chapter, in verse 12, while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. He came and saw Jesus. He fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but to go and show yourself to the priest, make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. Verse 15, but now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to him and to be healed of their infirmities. Verse 16, but he would withdraw to a desolate places and pray. So Jesus here is healing a man with leprosy. He says, don't tell anyone about this besides making your offering to the priest. Well, word got out, wouldn't you know it? And all the crowds came to Jesus. And in that moment, before it was time for him to interact and engage with the people that would come to him, he would withdraw to a desolate or deserted place by himself, and he would pray. Over in Mark chapter 6, we find a similar thing. Mark chapter 6. Now, in verse 29, I wanted to include verse 29 to give you some context here. Because if you just read verses 30 and following, you may miss something significant in the text. So Mark records in verse 29, when his, meaning Jesus, disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Now, this is not talking about Jesus' body yet. We're in Mark chapter 6. We're talking about the death of John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus. When his disciples heard about it, they took his body after he was killed by Herod, and they laid it in a tomb. And then verse 30, we find a different context. The context here is no longer really talking about the death of John the Baptist, but now the disciples were sent out on so-called limited commission. They were to go to the Jews and talk about the good news, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and they were to go out and perform miracles by the power of Jesus, and they were to tell the Jews. You all right, buddy? Okay, good. Oh, hello, Joker. Okay. They were on the limited commission. They came back and telling Jesus about what they were teaching. Now you're faking it. I know it. I know that cough. Okay. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. So you have the death of John the Baptist occur in verse 29. You have the disciples being sent out by themselves with the power of Jesus to go heal people, talk about the kingdom of heaven being at hand, and now they come back and tell Jesus how that mission went. Verse 31. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. If you know the rest of Mark 6, you know the crowds followed them wherever they went, so they couldn't get away from the people. But still he had compassion on them. He fed at least 5,000 men that were present on that occasion. But I love the way it said in verse 31, he hears about the death of John the Baptist. No doubt Jesus, feeling those emotions of grief and loss, is already having to wrestle with that. And then his disciples come back from their limited commission to tell them how people were hearing about the kingdom of God. And the way he said it in verse 31 seems to me that Jesus already knew that this was a beneficial, helpful, spiritually developing moment. He says, let me tell you a secret, Jesus is saying here in verse 31. We've been busy. We have a lot going on, a lot to process. Do what I do. Let's come away to a desolate, deserted place just for a while and rest. Just rest. Have you ever thought about the idea of rest in Scripture? How far into the Bible do you get before there is rest talked about? Creation. You have 7 days of creation, right? You have 6 days of actual creation, but you have the seventh day mentioned consistently in Scripture as the day that God did what? Does God need rest? Was he tired after all 6 days? There's the principle there that we are made in God's image, and even God himself needed to rest. What do we need, folks? Apparently rest. If Jesus needed it, times to just get away, be in solitude, be in quietness, stillness, to rest. If Jesus needed it, surely we all do. That's why I say I forget this thing exists until I'm in the car and I'm going someplace and I have music or I have a podcast or I have the radio going. What is my mind doing? It is racing and thinking and processing and working. And then when I turn that off and I'm just in the car, I can rest. Let my mind take a break just for a minute. The same thing is recorded for us in the book of Matthew. I'm not going to read all of it for you, but it's the same thing. We don't have the death of John the Baptist discussed here in this context. It simply is the idea of them withdrawing to a boat, to a desolate place by themselves. This next one I love, Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 32. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick and oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Do you see how each time in these scriptures, we're going all over the ministry of Jesus, but every single gospel author includes that detail. He would get up, he would go off to a place by himself, and there he would rest in prayer with God the Father. Every single moment here, it seems that Jesus is looking for that chance to get away to be with his heavenly Father. Verse 36, and Simon, Peter, and those who were with him searched for him. They found him and said to him, everyone's looking for you. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. He can cast out demons. He can heal people through the power of the Holy Spirit. Of course, everyone's looking for him. But he is busy. Where is he? Off doing nothing. This next one, I want to read it all, but I know that we'll be stuck here the rest of the day. I'll simply introduce it, and you'll have to read this if you don't know it well on your own. The book of Matthew, chapter 17. See, I'm smart enough to not include all of it. I know me. Okay, verses 1 through 3. The context goes through verse 13, so we're skipping 10 verses, but right here in verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain, where? By themselves. Now, at least twice, if not more times, the Bible talks to us about Jesus going off by himself to a desolate place. 2 times, though, he goes off by himself with Peter, James, and John. Now, being off by yourself doesn't always mean that you are totally alone, but being just with your closest possible friends. Jesus goes up this mountain with Peter, James, and John, and there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, his clothes became white as light, and behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. What in the world? Now, I was getting these slides together last night. I was at our dining room table, and I had my computer out, my iPad out, and I was looking at my verses, and I'm copying and pasting them over. And there was this little 7-year-old girl who was curious what I was doing. So she wandered over, put her arms up. I picked her up, had her in my lap, and set her next to me in the chair, and she was watching what I was doing. And as I was copy-pasting this verses 1 through 3 over to this slide for you to see this morning, she goes, "Oh, Moses and Elijah." I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "We've talked about them in Bible class. I know who Moses is, talking about Elijah too." And I was like, "Well, did you know that they had a conversation with Jesus?" She was like, "No." So I said, "Yeah, Jesus was there on a mountain with his closest friends, and he had a conversation with Moses and Elijah." So I could see the wheels turning, like, well, I know they're in the early part of the Bible, and Jesus is in the later part of the Bible. And she was wondering how that worked, because one died, Moses, and the other one was taken up to heaven, Elijah. So she's trying to process all this. The whole point here for me to mention this to you is the fact that he went off by himself with his closest friends. There he communed with people that were already in heaven. And his real image came through just for a moment. Verse 2, he was changed before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. When they were off by themselves on the mountain to commune with God, Jesus, his true nature, came out. And then finally, you know where we're going. Matthew chapter 26. I'm not going to read it all, but here's the context. Verses 36 through 46. Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He's off with Peter, James, and John. Verse 37. And taking with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." Going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And then, of course, verse 40, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. They just had their fellowship meal. They had the Passover. They were stuffed. And they fell asleep. He said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" Guess not. He went away a second time, prayed the same thing, came back, found them sleeping. Essentially said, "Rest up. It's going to be a hard day in front of us." Went away a third time, prayed the same thing, came back, woke up his closest friends and said, "It's here. It's here. The thing that we've been waiting for my whole life is here." In all these verses, I know it's not exhaustive, but it is a lot of text before us. The whole point I want to drive home to you is that if we look at God in creation, He created all the things that we've ever experienced in 6 days. He took the seventh day to rest. So it's no surprise to us that when God comes to us in bodily form, Jesus, the very Son of God Himself, when He was in His life, He knew the importance of rest. He would take His time, even in important moments in ministry, and He would go off by Himself in solitude and in silence and to commune with His Father. It's no surprise, then, that we find the book of Psalms full of moments like this. Psalm 37, verses 5 through 7, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." Just like the sun rises every single morning and is directly above us every single day, God is working in your life. Verse 7, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Be still, and you will see that God is at work in your life." Also, Psalm 46, verses 10 through 11, famously it reads, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of His heavenly host is with us. The God of Jacob is our defense or fortress." I submit to you that you can't know that God is God unless you have these moments of stillness. You can't. If your mind is constantly racing and running and fretting and full of anxiety, you know who you're forgetting about? God. But in these moments where we detach, disconnect ourselves from the world, and go off to be with God alone, that's our source of strength. So I know you're all waiting for it. I know one man in particular is waiting for it. There he is. The Dave slide. What does this mean for us? Jesus even needed to be alone sometimes. In our text we've read today, especially in moments of exhaustion and before big moments in His life. If you are running yourself ragged, that is not the way that God designed you to run. In fact, by His own nature and character has shown you, He doesn't even run Himself that way. Take the time, if you can, to have moments alone with God. If you are a follower of Jesus, you should also follow His example of just getting away and resting from time to time. And here's the main point of what I wanted to drive home. By disconnecting from others for a short time, we reconnect with God more fully. Now, many of you know, we had a survey sent out almost 1 year ago to this very date. And some of the comments were, most of the comments were overwhelmingly positive. But some of you learned a secret about my personality. And the secret is, I am not an extrovert. I don't know how extroverts operate. I don't know how you live. I don't know how you're so happy and full of energy all the time. I'm not that. I give you all that I've got Sunday morning for about 30 minutes and I'm done, okay? If you want to have a connection, a relationship with me, come and talk to me one-on-one. The people that are here around the building that know I'm here, that's when we have our best conversations, and it's not draining or taxing on me a bit. So I love the fact that I'm introverted, and when I read the Bible, Jesus also needed time to just get away and be by Himself and reconnect to His Father before big moments. It was draining being Jesus, and even He needed a moment to recharge, to go in amongst the multitudes and the crowds that were following Him. It's so easy for us to buy into what the world is telling us about how productive we have to be and how to maximize and optimize your day to be the most efficient possible. And that's all well and good. But don't forget that Jesus needed time to go off and recharge by being with God. We should too. Don't forget the spiritual discipline of solitude and silence. It will help you grow deeper to your Heavenly Father who wants you to be focused on Him. It's hard to be focused on Him when you're focused on everything else in your world. This morning, if anyone has a need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we are the family here in Thomaston Road. We are all going the same direction towards heaven. We're trying to encourage each other, exhort one another, and to grow together on our way to our Father's kingdom. If we can pray for you, if we can encourage you, you can come forward and talk to me for a moment, or you can see one of our elders at the doors. If you have a need this morning, respond now as we stand and we sing.